So let us hear God speak to us, beginning in Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees, they were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And as we turn to Matthew 21, verse 9, just have in mind verses 25 and 26. Save now, I pray, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21. So in Matthew chapter 21, look at verses really 1 through 9. This is commonly known as the triumphal entry. Happened on this day, which is commonly known as Palm Sunday on the church calendar. We'll get to that in a little bit. But here now, Matthew 21, verse 1 through 9. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, we desire to learn from you what it looks like to call upon the Lord in prayer, to cry out to you, the God who has demonstrated that you are the God who saves your people. Encourage our hearts this morning by your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is known as Palm Sunday, because it's the day on which Jesus entered into Jerusalem The day is beginning the week leading up to his death. We'll have a Good Friday service and then an Easter service for the resurrection. Of course, it's leading up to his death. But why is it called Palm Sunday? Well, because in the scripture, we're told that the works were particularly John 12, 13. They waved palm branches and they cried out, Hosanna. We'll get to what that word means in a little bit. In fact, so closely were palm branches related to Hosanna that the palm branches themselves became known as Hosannas. So people are crying out Hosanna. They're waving these palm branches. The city of Jerusalem is celebrating because it's Passover. They are looking back to the deliverance from Egypt. Remember? God's people were in Egypt. God visited the Egyptians with all of those plagues, and then God redeemed his people with the Passover lamb. The lamb was killed, the blood was put on the doorpost, the angel of death passed over the homes of God's people, and the firstborn was not killed. And so it's fitting that we would hear cries out of Psalm 118. Because Psalm 118 was really Psalm 113 to 118 are known as Egyptian Hallels. Hallel means to praise. So Egyptian praises, well, they're not praising Egyptians, but they're praising God's work of delivering God's people out of Egypt. And what was Passover all about? Celebrating God's deliverance. In fact, this would have been sung in this manner. It would have been antiphonal, which means that one would sing and another would sing. Might work like this. The worshipers would come into the temple. Then an individual would sing, if we think about Psalm 118, verses 5 through 21, and then verses 22 through 25, particularly the text we're going to look at this morning that's brought out in Matthew 21, would be sung by the choir of individuals who are coming into worship. And then in Psalm 118, verses 26 and 27, that's the blessing that's being put on the worshipers, would be sung by the priests, and then everybody would join in the end in giving thanksgiving to God. But how fitting that is that the worshipers would be coming and saying, we want to enter into the gates of God, but we need him to deliver us. And so I hope that brings out a little bit of the connection as to why this psalm may have been on the minds of the people who were welcoming Jesus. Now, I doubt that all of them really understood. They didn't. They didn't really understand what they were saying. They were saying, Hosanna, but they didn't understand what Jesus had come to do. We need to understand what Jesus came to do. But Psalm 118, it's interesting, it was Luther's favorite psalm. Now that struck me as odd. I would have sworn that Luther's favorite psalm was Psalm 46, the psalm upon which he based A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. But Luther's favorite psalm was Psalm 118. In fact, he said of it, this is my psalm which I love, for truly it has deserved well of me many a time and has delivered me from many a sore affliction. When neither the emperor nor kings nor the wise nor the cunning nor the saints were able or willing to help me. Have you ever felt like you're in a place where nobody else is able or willing to help you? I know Luther felt that. Like a man standing alone, but he did not stand alone. And this psalm helped him remember that he did not stand alone. But I want to get to, in our sermon this morning, I want to get to the question. The question, what does Hosanna mean? And not only that, but what does Hosanna have to do with prayer and praise? And then I hope that as we go through this, not only do you leave here knowing what Hosanna means, not only do you leave here understanding how Hosanna relates to prayer and praise, but that you leave with confidence to pray to God, Hosanna. That's what I want you to leave here, with confidence to pray to God, Hosanna. So what I want you to see is this. Hosanna is the prayer we need to pray and the prayer God loves to answer. It's the prayer we need to pray and the prayer God loves to answer. Now, if I'm telling you it's the prayer we need to pray and the prayer God loves to answer, you're probably wondering, well, what's the prayer? What does Hosanna mean? Well, it really comes out of Psalm 118 and verse 25. Two Hebrew words. Hoshaya, to save, and anat, which is pray. So literally, save, I pray. You put those together, Hoshiana, which is where we get Hosanna. Save, It's in the imperative. It's crying out, save, I pray. Save, I pray. What a prayer. Simply, save, deliver me. Now, why is it that we need to pray Hosanna prayers? It's the first thing I want to look at. Why we need to pray them, and then really secondly, that God loves to answer these prayers. And then how those answered prayers, both before and after the answer, lead us to praise. So the first thing that I want to look at with you is why we need to pray Hosanna prayers. Well, if Hosanna means save, then I think it's pretty clear. We need saving, don't we? We do. In fact, we might say this, Hosanna prayers, prayers that pray, save me, are prayers of confession. We're confessing that we need saving. Now, is that an easy thing to say? If you say that you need saving, what are you admitting about yourself? Something none of us like to admit. We can't do it. We're weak. We need help. Just ask for help. No, I don't want to ask for help. I can do it myself. That's our built-in attitude. But that doesn't work with God. Please don't live like that. It's being stubborn. And it's fooling yourself. No, we confess, God, I am a sinner. That's the beginning point. If you do not begin there, if you do not begin with the words of Paul, I am the chief of sinners, you're never going to be able to cry out, save me. In fact, you'll pray like the Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee? This is why self-righteous individuals cannot pray Hosanna prayers. They cannot pray, truly, save me. In fact, we might say that the Pharisee prayed, thank you, God, that I've saved myself. Thank you, God, that I've saved myself. But remember in the parable, the tax collector, he prayed that Hosanna prayer, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. We need to confess before God that we need saving and that God is the only one who can do it. Period. That's the entry fee to praying Hosanna or praying save me. I'm a sinner and only God can save me. And we might put it this way. When you pray this kind of prayer, you're praying, God, do what I need and what only you can do. What only you can do. And God specializes in saving people. That's his specialty. It's great. So not only are these prayers of confession that I'm a sinner and only God can save, but they're prayers of confidence that God can do what only he can do. Really, that's the prayer. God, do what only you can do. And not only that, God, do what you have promised to do. Now, what only God can do. In fact, Isaiah 43:11, God says, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. That excludes every other Savior. There is no Savior but God. He's the only one that can do it, but he promises to do it. See, it'd be horrible if we understood that God could save us, but we weren't sure if he would. But God gives us confidence. Isaiah 45:17, Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. This is God's word. Now, have you ever prayed like that? God, do what you've promised to do. It sounds a bit demanding, doesn't it? But if God's promised to do it, he loves those prayers. That's why praying God's word is so important. God, you have said you're going to do it. Now, I'm agreeing with your word, and I'm praying, God, do as you have promised to do. That's a powerful prayer. That's a prayer that gets answered. God, do what you have promised to do. It might look like this in the context of salvation in Christ. Lord, let this Savior Jesus be my Savior, my ruler, my protector, my King. Let my soul find rest in him. Jesus, you have promised that anyone who comes to you heavy and laden, you will provide rest. Do what you have promised to do and provide me rest. Now, this is important, particularly for some of you. I want to talk to the person who's struggling with anxiety. More and more nowadays, depression, fear, all of these things. I don't know if that's you. Maybe all you can do is pray what David records in Psalm 12:1. Beginning of Psalm 12, he just says, "Help, Lord." You ever prayed that kind of prayer? Just help, Lord. That's all that's necessary. Help, Lord. That's all I can say. Help, Lord. Perhaps you feel like the description of the person in Psalm 69, 1 through 3. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." Whenever I think of that, whenever I hear the waters come up to my neck and I sink in deep mire, I remember swimming in a lake. I don't remember. I think it was in southern Missouri somewhere. And as a kid, I'm out there swimming and I went down, but my feet went in the mud. And they stuck for a moment. And I had a moment of panic. Am I going to be able to resurface? That's the picture here of the panic and the struggle. The water is up to my neck. I'm sinking in deep mire. I'm waiting on you, God. But I love this answer that God gives. Isaiah 35:4. I'll point you to this if you are one who is struggling with anxiety or other things. I want you to hear. This is what God says to say to you. Isaiah 34:5. "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God." And here it is. "He will come and save you." So, what's God's word to those who are fearful hearted? "I will come and save you." Help, Lord. That's the prayer he loves to answer. Now, why is it that we can be so confident that God will answer us when we cry out, Hosanna, when we cry out, "Save, I pray"? Well, we can be confident because God loves to answer Hosanna prayers. He loves to do it. We see that all over the Old Testament. I did a study as I prepared for this week, and you can thank me now for not going through every passage that talks about God delivering. That would make a great study. Just start going through the Word of God and going through everything just in the Old Testament of where God delivered His people. I want to point you to two places. The first one, you don't have to turn there, but the first one is in Exodus. Remember, as God meets Moses in Exodus, Moses is out minding his own business. He's a shepherd. God meets him while he's tending the flocks. And what does God say to him? Exodus 3, verse 7. "The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry." God heard the cry. God heard the Hosanna. God heard the "save, I pray." And then over in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30, after all of the plagues and all of these things that God did, and after the Passover, what is it? What is it that we read? Exodus 14, verse 30. "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." What a beautiful picture. God comes to Moses and says, "I've heard the prayer. I've heard the cry." Fast forward to Exodus 14, and God answers. But I want to point you to one more. I love this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. As we look at 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, we We come to a little bit of a problem that Jehoshaphat is having with the people of Moab and the people of Ammon. Jehoshaphat is told that they are coming up against him. He's got this army coming, and we're told that Jehoshaphat feared, but he did the right thing. He feared and that he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judea. They gathered together, and I want you to listen to his prayer. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? Sounds pretty bold, doesn't it? Are you not that God? Isn't that who you are? And then he brings this before God. He says, God, the people of Ammon, the people of Moab, of Mount Seir, they are seeking to destroy us. And in verse 12, oh, our God, will you not judge them? And here's the acknowledgement, for we have no power. Remember I talked earlier about coming to God and saying, save, I pray, because I cannot save myself. He recognizes we have no power. Got nothing. He doesn't think, oh, I've got an army. Do they have an army? Yeah. He says, we've got no power against this great multitude. And not only that, we don't know what to do. That's a great position to be in. I've got no power and I don't know what to do, God. Save me. And I love this. God gives them instruction. And he says, listen, here's what you need to understand. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of them, because the battle's not yours. It belongs to God, to the Lord. Go down against them, but you're not going to need to fight this battle. You stand still and you see the salvation of the Lord. I encourage you to read through 2 Chronicles chapter 20 later on. And it happens just as God said. They rose up. They went out. And they started singing to God. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, all who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So much so that when Judah came, they just saw dead bodies. No one had escaped. What a deliverance. What a deliverance. That was an Old Testament example. Exodus, 2 Chronicles, Old Testament example. But the New Testament example of God's answer to this Hosanna prayer is far greater. We see it as people are crying out because Christ is coming into Jerusalem. In fact, that's the New Testament answer. Jesus. Yes, in the Old Testament, God saved his people out of Egypt with a physical lamb that was slain and the blood was put over the doorpost. But here, at the celebration of Passover, we see Christ coming in, who is, as Paul says, our Passover sacrificed for us. Isaiah prophesied of this. It was he who was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You see, Christ coming into Jerusalem, although the people may have thought that he was coming in to rule as an earthly king, he knew that he was coming in to die as a sacrificial lamb. He was coming to answer the cry that we need to cry, Hosanna, save us. In fact, you know, Jesus' name means Savior. Even his name points us to that reality. In doing so, he fulfills the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 33:16, in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. That is what God has done in Christ. He is the one who is the answer to Hosanna, save us. And I want you to know this, that those Hosanna prayers, those prayers of save us, result in Hosanna praise. They do. And so often this word Hosanna is associated with praise, isn't it? And rightly so. We ought to praise God for his answer to these prayers before they ever get answered. Have you ever praised God for something before it happens? Do you know people in Scripture do? They praise God. That's an act of faith. Saying, God, I'm going to praise you now for what you have promised to do later. And so we praise God before the fact. We might put it this way. We say to God, you are the God who will save us. We see examples of that in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. So there is turning this prayer into praise. Isaiah 38:20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Why? Why were they singing? Not because God had, but because God was ready to do it. I love this. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. That's a promise. But not only that, we're told that he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Did you know that God sings over his people? It's an amazing truth. He delivers us so that we are saved from our enemies. And as we sing, he sings. And I want to direct your attention back as we think about praying before God answers. That's what Jehoshaphat did, didn't he? He gathered the people together and he prayed to God before it was happening. In fact, God told him to go out. We read this in verse 21 and 22 of 2 Chronicles 20. When he, that is Jehoshaphat, had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, they were doing this before God had answered anything. They're praising him for the victory. But not only do we praise God before he answers, but we praise him after he answers. We say, you are the God who will save us, and you are the God who has saved us. And we see that again in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 27 and 28. They praised God. They went into the war with prayer and praise. And they come back after God had delivered them with praise on their lips. Verse 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. It's interesting. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned. Contrast that with verse 24 that says of their enemies, no one had escaped. That's God's way, isn't it? God's people came through the Red Sea on dry ground, but all of Pharaoh's army was drowned. So much so, we see that as a picture of baptism that we saw this morning. Isn't that an encouragement to know that because of the blood of Christ shed for us, that although God's enemies would be drowned, as was in the days of Noah in the flood, as was in the days of Moses at the crossing of the Red Sea, that will not touch us because God has promised to deliver us. So that's what I mean when I say we need to pray Hosanna. We need to pray. Remember what that word means. Save, I pray. Save me. God loves to answer these prayers. He's demonstrated throughout history. I just gave you two examples. I gave you the example out of his delivery of the individuals from Egypt. I gave you the example of Jehoshaphat and his people. Of course, the greatest example is the work of Christ. The one who fulfilled all of those. The one who is the deliverer. But I want you to know that sometimes that's all you can do. And don't feel bad about that. Satan will come and say, you know what, you are so weak. And say, yeah, I am weak. That's why I need to cry out, Hosanna. That's why I need to cry out, save me. It's when you think you're strong that you have problems. Sometimes all we can do is cry out, save. You know, the canons of Dort tell us that as sinners, we have plunged ourselves into misery and ruin. That's the truth. We have plunged ourselves into misery and ruin. We are sinking in the miry clay. The water has come up to our necks, but we can still cry, Hosanna, save me. And God answers that prayer. So you can pray that with great confidence. He saved his people out of Egypt. He saved the people under Jehoshaphat. And he will save all who come to him. And I put it like this. When we think about his work through Christ, God saves us from ourselves, that is, from the misery and the ruin into which we plunged ourselves. He saves us from ourselves through his Son for our glory. In other words, Jesus is God's answer to Hosanna. Isn't he? We cry, save us. He answers, Jesus. And he does it. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Salvation has now appeared to all men. So I think about the word Hosanna. There's a song that comes to mind, a song I've been listening to all week. It's an older song, a more modern song by Paul Baloche called Hosanna. The words, some of the words, of course, go like this. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. You are worthy of all of our praises. That's what I hope you understand today. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. You are worthy of all our praises. That truth will bolster you in times when you struggle. Just knowing that you can cry out to God anytime, save me, and he will answer. And then there's the great encouragement that God even gives us from his word. I'll close with this. If you are in Christ, if you have cried out to God, save me, then hear what God says to you, his people. This is from Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. What a glorious truth. Happy are you. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we do cry out, Hosanna. Save, we pray. We know that we need salvation. We know that you are the only one who can do it. And we know that you have done it. You've demonstrated over and over again in your word, whether it's saving your people out of Egypt, saving your people under the judges, saving your people under King Jehoshaphat. But we have seen that you have fully satisfied this promise to answer that prayer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Encourage our hearts so that we might know that we can cry out each and every day of our lives, save us, and you will answer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.